graphic nature of this program, listener discretion is advised.
Deviants, welcome to show. I am the Clinteris, and I am here with
the Gooch in Mourning.
Oh man,
condolences, Gooch.
And I'm the Devo Slack,
and we are the Social Deviants, who are here today to talk about The Way of the Gun, starring none other than one of Gooch's personal favorites, Benicio del Toro.
Ryan Felipe.
Love it. I'm going to say Ty Diggs. I love the caramel.
Ty Diggs is dope, fool. The movie was released September 8th, 2000. So just a little over 20 years ago.
Yes.
Which is kind of crazy, because when you see this movie, you can tell Benicio is young.
He's so young in this one, dude.
It's been a long 20 years for him. Like, you can tell, it looks like he's been living that Dr. Gonzo lifestyle. I'm just going to say.
Seriously, dude. It's true.
This movie was written by Christopher McQuarrie and directed by Christopher McQuarrie, who I believe, if I'm not mistaken, did the he did the Christopher Nolan movies. He did Edge of Tomorrow. He did the Jack Reacher movies. He did that terrible Tom Cruise mummy movie.
Is there any relation to Ralph McQuarrie?
That's a good question. He did he wrote The Usual Suspects. Interesting.
Hmm.
It doesn't say here. He doesn't say that he's a. And so the movie was made for $8.5 million, and it actually had a box office of $13.1 million. So
pure profit.
I remember going and watching this movie. It was good.
Yeah,
dude, I had never heard of this movie.
Really?
No way.
Yeah. I saw it dude, back in the day.
When Luch was like, "Yeah, we're gonna watch Way of the Gun," I'm like, "What the fuck is Way
no
of the
way.
Gun?" And then I saw the poster. I'm like, "When was Benicio ever in a movie with Ryan Felipe?" And then I started watching it. I'm like, "Juliette Lewis is in this shit? Tate Diggs? What is happening here?"
I'm almost 100% sure that I went to watch this in the theater with Clint.
I'm pretty sure we did. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure we did. In my thoughts, I thought Devo came with us. Maybe he didn't.
Apparently not. I thought Devo had seen this.
I thought this, me too.
This is 2000. This is before we all became the deviants.
This is right. Yeah. Fragility 2001. Fragility 2000.
Yeah, but then.
Yeah,
like,
but this was this was released like in August, and the Fragility.
Was it June?
Was it June or May or something
like that? Yeah.
But still, we weren't on like, hey, let's go to all these cool movies
together.
Fair enough.
So the movie, let's just get this out of the way. The movie starts off and Sarah Silverman.
Yes, I was shocked that was her.
Yeah, that's her.
Now let's talk about her. Did you guys see the
name that's on IMDb? Her character name.
What?
No.
Cunt?
You didn't. Well, hold on.
Is it fuck suck?
No.
Because that's the quote I have here. Like, one of the first things out of her mouth is like, hey, fuck suck.
No. The name that they gave her on as credits, it's called Raving Bitch.
It's called, wait, what?
Raving Bitch.
Raving Bitch. I love it. She was.
She was. I was like, dude, she came out. And the greatest to me, the movie started off so awesome because
right?
Because
so great.
The first thing Ryan Philippe says to her is, "You better shut that cunt's mouth, or I'm gonna come over there and fuck start her head." And her face when he said that, she was stunned.
I have that written down. What does that mean? What does it mean to fuck start someone's head?
I have no idea.
I was hoping
that was awesome.
People laughed in the movie. The people in the line were laughing at that when he said that.
It's ridiculous, right? And then like she comes up and she starts talking all that shit to him, right? And she's just running her mouth, right?
Oh,
and even
gosh.
Her man's like, "Hey, you know, you need to calm down." She's like, "Please stop, right?" And then like she starts like, but she's doing that typical thing and like she's running her mouth and getting him in trouble, right? Like she's like, "Oh, you know, he's gonna beat you down. And he's gonna fuck you in the ass. He's not even gay, but he's gonna beat you up so much he's gonna fuck you in the ass, right?" And then
what's she saying, Devo?
And then
That's absolutely ridiculous.
What
are
you even trying to say?
I have this in caps here because this is probably my favorite part of the film, right? Is where like Ryan Phillippe is like talking back to the man and he's like, all right. And he turns around and you know he's just winding up for a hit. He pushes the dude out of the way and he just cold clocks Sarah Silverman.
Cold clocks Sarah Silverman. Oh my God.
That was greatness.
I had forgotten about that. I didn't understand. I was like, when I was watching, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think this could be done now.
I mean, I don't condone it.
He is fucking cold clocked Sarah Silverman in the fucking face.
She kind of deserved it.
No, I dude.
Kind of.
No one is going to say she didn't deserve it, Fawn. Because then after that, she was like, why'd you let him do that to me? You talked all this shit to him and he hit me in the face. I'm like, bitch, it was your fucking fault.
Even all the stuff that was going on in the sperm bank, I don't like.
Oh, the sperm bank's just a fuck.
You can write it. And you could put it on film, but it's just right now. It's just like, there's no way people are going to accept that. You know?
The F word, you can't that, not the fuck, but the other F word. You just can't. I was actually a little jarred by seeing that. I was like, Jesus, you couldn't really put that in a movie anymore, man.
It was used a lot too. And Sarah Silverman was like, just like throwing you left and right in her rant.
Dude, she cracked me up because obviously, I mean, you put her in the movie for that reason. That's why you cast her.
Like her mouth was super foul. Yeah. And it was believable.
I was like, okay, she's like, do something to him right before he goes out. I'm like, bitch, you fucking do something.
Yeah, exactly. And you're the one with the mouth, bitch.
And then when this, Devo, I got to ask you this question. Both of you guys, have you ever heard this in your life? This fool's like, so what? You want to do the man dance? What the fuck is the man dance?
I mean, I'm assuming
she's talking about he's going to fuck you in the ass. And then she's talking about the man dance. I'm like, whoa. What is going on here?
Oh, man.
And yeah, Benicio is like biting people in the ankles. And she's complaining. She's like, why did you pick a fight with him? I'm like, bitch, you did. Yeah. And he, to me, this guy shows how much of a bitch he is. Even more than her, is right when she gets clocked and her face is all bloodied up, which I'm sure Devo you found amusing.
I was laughing my ass off.
I loved it.
This fool said, she's like, this was like, you look more beautiful than ever. I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. Cause oh God. Just trying to fucking pander to her. But hey, you know what? He's got it because you look at him, he looks like a fucking weasel, right?
Yeah, why did they pick that guy?
Like a 70s hair, this nasty ass beard, and he's with hot Sarah Silverman.
Like that guy didn't look tough at all. So why? Here's the thing. Why did she think that guy was even going to have a chance beating up Philippe and Benicio? That doesn't make no sense.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
So then we get into a little bit more of the story and we find out that Juliet, let's do this first and foremost, okay? There are basically three women in the movie. This Sarah Silverman, Juliet Lewis, and the wife who doesn't want to be bothered to have her own child.
Yeah. Francesca.
Let's talk about those three. Give me your thoughts. If you want to FKMK, however you want to do it.
Whew.
You know what, dude? You know what? I'm going to start right here. All right. So I would fuck... I hate saying it like this. No, it's awkward.
Taboo.
I'll
say it.
That's taboo now. All right.
Just say
F.
You're such a creep, Lucho.
I would funk.
Oh my God. That's even worse.
Funk.
Yeah. You would fuck. All right. You would fuck star her head.
In first gear.
Oh God.
All right. So I would F Juliet Lewis, right? Was it Mary? What was her name?
Sarah Silverman.
Sarah Silverman, yes. And then I would kill the wife, whatever it was.
Francesca.
Francesca, yes.
I'm on the same path as Lucho. I'd marry Sarah Silverman. I would actually F the wife, Francesca. And,
no!
And not Preggers Juliet Lewis, but she'd have to go.
Okay, all right.
Not fine. Preggers, not Preggers. Just Juliet Lewis. Even if she looked at me, she's like, will you eat my pussy for me?
No, I'm like,
sorry. Just can't do it. Just can't do it.
I forgot about that. Why didn't I think about that? Oh God, it's so great. Yeah, I think I could do that.
Juliette Lewis, yeah. You yeah, boy. I love you.
Yeah. I'm with you, Debo. I mean, if she's pregnant, I'll keep her alive, obviously. I don't want to F her though. But I like
the wife, Francesca. She's a little freaky in what she was doing.
Definitely freaky.
And Clint, you know, she likes to dip in that chocolate.
She does. That's what I'm saying. And Sarah Silverman is the best looking. The other ones, you know, you take one for the team. But no, I don't like Juliette Lewis. I never did.
I didn't realize that she was from Alta Carbon.
Who?
The wife.
What role does she? What? What role does she play?
I don't remember what her character was, but in the first couple episodes,
I know who she is. She was James Purefoy's wife in the first season. Yeah,
doesn't wear a bra at all in the show.
Yeah. and then Herschel from The Walking Dead is in the movie.
I was surprised.
Yeah.
He's a good actor, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he played a scumbag perfectly.
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously, which was like the opposite of Herschel, which was interesting. And then obviously you have like Taye Diggs and Nikki Catt, which were entertaining to say the least.
Oh, that was good. That was.
I was surprised Taye Diggs was in this too. And like when you first see him, he's just walking in like stone cold face, like I almost felt he was a robot.
Yeah,
he Taye Diggs did a great job in this fucking. Throughout a lot of his like movies that I did watch with him, this I thought this one he did the best in this one. Maybe because he was a badass and he's a badass.
It's funny because he's a very charismatic guy in a lot of the movies that he does, but he's not that in this, which is kind of interesting. And so then they sort of encounter each other for the first time. Benicio and Ryan and Taye Diggs and Nikki Catt and Juliette Lewis is in the middle. And when they first pull their guns out, this happens twice actually in the movie. They pull their guns out and everyone just sort of freezes, which I think because it happened twice, I'm not going to harp on too much because I think the movie was doing that on purpose as like a funny little thing to give him an opportunity to like get the fuck out. You know what I mean? But obviously if people pull guns like that, you're going to either do something. You're going to either run or maybe because there's a pregnant lady in the middle, you would maybe try to come to her aid. But that I thought that that was did you guys catch that at all?
Yeah. Especially in the first time, because when it happened in the second time, they're in like, I don't know, it was in a bar in Mexico or something, right?
Yeah.
But the first time it happened, they were in a doctor's office or some corporate area. And people were just sitting there having lunch or having snacks or whatever. And they're just sitting there watching. It's like, I don't like, and this took place in LA, I assume.
I want to either that or Arizona, but I think LA.
I want to say like it's like some sort of they were saying like they're like oil tycoons from like either Texas or Utah or Arizona or something like that.
I mean,
so it's like it's like the Southwest somewhere.
Because it was close enough to the border.
Yeah, so it's either like New Mexico is the one that's closest to the border.
It could be
Texas. So,
but I mean, regardless, it's like it was in a place where if that sort of thing happens and it's a stand, and it wasn't even just like a couple guys pulled their guns out. Like it was like an actual hostage situation. Yeah. Some dude had pantyhose over his over his face. It's like, I don't know. Like, was that supposed to be like a commentary on like people being desensitized to this sort of stuff or something?
Yeah. Like everyone was like sitting there eating their lunch, watching.
And like even like Benicio, he had to look over. Exactly. And he's like, "Well," and then everybody's like, "Oh, that's my cue. Let me leave."
Yeah. No, it's like Benicio was like, people, and then Ryan Phillippe was like, "Oh,
that's right."
But you guys,
right.
There's guns, motherfuckers.
Yeah,
leave. There was running.
So, were you guys of the opinion that they were essentially just going to bail out on the kidnapping? After they realized that they, when Nikki Catt and Taye Diggs had their guns out.
So you mean like in the beginning, right? When
they were going to bail out and then they just happened to got lucky, were. Right?
Yeah. And then,
I think
and
they
then,
really were.
Yeah. And then it was just serendipity where Ryan Phillippe gets back in the building and all of a sudden, boom, that $15 million is standing right in front of him. So
that's right.
And it was really interesting too, because they leave the building and then all of a sudden you just hear pop 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 pop, and it's like they're just like lighting fools up. And what I know, it was two dudes in a car, but maybe there was like another car or another detail or something around. And then you see like these people just laying on the ground outside, just bloodied and dead. It's like, did they kill the people and take their van, or like what was happening there?
I think they were just collateral. They're just innocent bystanders.
Yeah.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Because one of them was a woman, I think, face down.
She had nothing to do with it.
I don't believe. Yeah, and I guess they want to get her and extort the Herschel for money. But the one thing that I never got was that they had this tape that the doc gave to Juliette Lewis, and I think a few people watched it throughout the course of the movie, but we never got to see it.
No, we did. So we didn't get to see it at when Benicio del Toro and Ryan Phillippe would go to the gas station to buy food.
Yeah, Benicio's watching it with that.
They didn't show us what was on it.
No, so
that's what Francesco was watching, right?
Exactly, that's what Francesco was watching.
It was just the monitor. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
The ultrasound.
That's exactly.
Okay, you're right. We do get to see it.
Yeah.
When Francesca's sitting there eating fucking shrimp and ice cream, and Tay Diggs walks in the room and she gets all just gushed up.
She was very.
She was a whack job.
Yeah, she was just revolting as a character, you know?
Yeah.
Because she put this whole thing in motion because she didn't want to have a kid herself, even though she obviously could, you know? Because at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And then when this dude, James Caan, calls his boy up and.
This is a great scene.
This fool has like 5 or 6 guns. I don't know what that character's name was. Do you guys remember what that character's name was?
Abner something.
That's right. Abner.
It was Abner.
He puts his 5 or 6 guns. He puts a bullet in one of them, puts one bullet in each one of the guns.
I think he puts one bullet in one, and then he puts them all in a pillowcase. spins it around, like shakes it up, undoes it, pulls one gun out, puts it to his head, and pulls the trigger. And then he puts that gun down. Then he reaches in again, and then that's when the phone starts ringing, right? And then he like looks over and he's like, He puts a gun to his head and the phone keeps ringing. And then it's James Caan on the other end. It's like, I'm like, dude, that's a fucked up, that's somebody that has a death wish, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a super fucked up intro, dude.
Yeah.
When you're playing Russian roulette x5 by yourself.
Yeah.
Could you imagine that's my intro? Director, I want to play Russian roulette, but 5 times with 5 different guns and a pillowcase. What do you think?
The thing I love most is when he called him, James Caan was like, "You busy?" He's like, "No, not at all.
Not doing anything important."
It's a great film, by the way.
And then I remember Juliette Lewis is in she's in the van or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And Ryan Phillippe is eating a sandwich and she's like, "Are you gonna eat that?" This fool didn't want to give it to her.
Yeah, he was reluctant, fool. And she had to remind him, "I'm pregnant." She's like, he's like, "Oh yeah."
That's the way of whatever these guys were. I don't know if you want to call them criminals or hitman but they had the code. And I had this written down too. There's a strange unspoken connection between the two of them. You know, they knew exactly what they were thinking and doing. It's like they would give each other looks and they knew what was happening. It kind of breaks down a little bit towards the end of the film when there's some questionable stuff going on, but then they regain it again. And I think there's this code that they go through, and even Ryan Phillippe was saying in one of his monologues at the beginning of the movie about I don't remember exactly what he was saying, but it's like, okay, these guys have a code and part of the code is that you don't get attached and yada yada yada. And even spoiler alert, when you're a poof, you're not going to be going after the pregnant lady or anything like that. So when she's like, "Yeah, I want some of that sandwich," and then she's even like, "Oh, I love bacon," and he's like, "It's gas station bacon," and she's like, "It's okay, it's still good."
What do you mean he's a poof?
He's a poof.
His character was gay? Oh, I don't think I caught that.
Dude. Oh, dude. Yeah. At the end, as they're in that hotel in Mexico, they're leaving. Ryan Phillippe shares a story about kind of how he got into that quote unquote business. And I guess his story was his lawyer hired him to go after this dude that was molesting the lawyer's son. And so he's like, "I go in and it's all set up perfect. The guy's, in his room, the door's unlocked. He's just, butt naked, taking care of himself. And on the bed's a bunch of pictures of little kids." And so he's like, "What I want to do is, I could have done it. I could have just, put a bolt in his head. But instead I told him to, lay down face first on the bed." And, at that point, and he says this, he's like, "At this point, I wanted to take some pictures of him, just so that way he had that a couple for him. So he had to live with that shame, and a couple for me so I could, and then he kind of pauses. And he's like, he was basically telling Benicio that his first time in the business was a problem, and he's kind of coming out to him.
Oh, I didn't get that at all. I thought he was savoring the murder. Yeah, I thought he was too. Just savoring because he was a sick fuck.
But
God damn,
man, but that's why he went so crazy at the beginning about when the guy asked him if he was homosexual.
Oh, and then that's why he got so defensive
that's
about
why
it.
So defensive. Interesting.
Oh, I did not get that. Wow. This is what the podcast is for, baby.
Goddamn.
This is a cerebral ass.
Devo going deep into his psyche for this movie.
I like it.
I love it.
So when James Caan comes in, when Nikki Cat and Taye Diggs are, you know, being held by the authorities, it's just magic. First of all, he comes in as just hot fire, just firing darts at these fools. But did you guys notice that he didn't move his neck? Do you think that was like he did that for the role because he had like some type of scar on his neck? Or do you think James Caan in real life really couldn't move his neck and they worked it into
I think if I don't know if you remember, but in Eraser with Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's like the bad guy in that movie too, right? And he has very limited mobility in that film. I don't know if you remember this. And he kind of plays the same type of character too. Like this super ultra badass working in the background type thing. Obviously in one, he's like extraordinary like fucking agent in Eraser. And this one, I guess he's like a super bad man or something. But he plays the same type of character. But he has limited mobility in Eraser as well. And that was what, like 97? I don't know when this came out. 99. 2000. I liked what the character, James Caan's character, because he played the character they needed to play.
He called himself a broken down old man. So I guess they just worked his lack of mobility into the script. And I love the scene, the whole exchange, because Nikki Cat asks him if he's a lawyer, and James Caan looks at him with disgust and is like, do I look like a fucking lawyer? It was so good.
Dude, they have some of the best lines these guys
they do. Dude. He's like, I handle Mr. Chittick's laundry, things like you. I make unpleasant decisions of which he can't and never will know.
Yeah, they're so great.
And at that point, I was like wondering, what would you call him? Is he like a consigliere? Obviously, we find out later on that he's a bag man, is what they call them.
Yeah. I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what it is either. I think the bad man had something to do with the money.
I thought it was that, money, but apparently it's someone that like has to maybe a laundry bag. Someone that just cleans up messes.
Maybe you're
that's
right.
That's what I figured.
Like he's the cleaner.
Because they say later on, you can never trust a bag man. Let's talk about James Caan. James Caan has this line where he says, no, I don't think, nor do I assume, speculate or hypothesize. I merely observe. It's just the line. I don't know if he ad-libbed these lines or these were the lines that were on the page and he just delivered them. But James Caan comes in hot and he's fucking awesome in this movie.
No, I think there was nothing in this movie that was improv. Like I have a note here. The dialogue seemed very calculated and was hard for a dummy like me to follow.
Really? I thought it was great, dude.
Yeah. I didn't say I didn't like it. I liked the dialogue. Right. I thought it was really, really well. But like, it was like every single word, every single letter, every single syllable had a meaning.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
And it's like you had to really be paying attention. Like they spent like James Caan, Taye Diggs, and fucking the other guy spent almost like 5 minutes of the movie talking about adjudicate. There you go. I can't even say the goddamn word.
And so then we find out that the doc is Herschel's son.
Right.
Yep.
And so at that point, I'm thinking the baby's his sister. So that makes sense why he would be so concerned about that child.
And invested. And in her.
But exactly. Yeah. In her too. But you sort of wonder, okay, well, is he just invested in her because he's a doc? Which makes sense as well. But obviously later on we learn, you know, that, you know, the embryo didn't take. And, you know, for them to try to cover that up, you know, this fool, you know, he put in work.
I want to talk about one of the most creepiest scenes I've seen in the movie. And I believe it was when Juliette Lewis first gets taken. And I don't know if it was Herschel calling the doctor or if that's when she was having complications and they're like, all right, we need to connect to the doctor. But that fool is sitting in his doctor's office, sitting on the chair in the stirrups with his legs up. Like he's one of the he's one of his patients. And the fool's just sitting there in the dark. I'm like, dude, that is one fucked up human being. And imagine like, and imagine like, you have to take your wife to this man, and he's going to put his hands inside of her to check on your child. And at night, he is sitting in those stirrups like a creep.
Oh man.
It's disturbing shit for sure.
I was like,
ridiculous.
I was like,
see, I didn't even think about that. Like, I mean, I thought he was a weirdo, obviously.
Yeah.
But I didn't go that into it though. That's hey, amazing. Man,
hey, I've been in that room plenty of times. I've seen my wife in that position plenty of times. I'm just praying to God that the female OBGs that were assisting our family, where we're not creepies and sitting in that chair just kind of hanging out in the middle of the night.
I mean, if the guy was a weirdo, obviously.
Oh God!
But oh man.
So after that, you know, they sort of beat up the doc. You know, because they want, you know, he's they need him obviously, but
and he can't be trusted,
right? So there's a scene where, you know, he's trying to hide the fact that he has contact with Benicio and Philippe. And the phone rings and it's like in his like chest pocket or something like that. And he covers it up and Taye Diggs reaches for it and he covers it up. The doc covers the phone. And I love Taye Diggs looks at him and says, "Move your fucking hand."
Yeah.
And the doc doc doesn't even do anything. He just moves his hand. That's it. I was like, that's some fucking intimidation right there, man.
Oh man.
And I love the back and forth that Taye Diggs has with Benicio.
Oh, it's great.
I don't know if it was Benicio or Ryan Felipe, but they're talking about the ransom money, right?
Yes.
And so they're like, okay, you know, you gotta bring the guy to Mexico, blah blah blah.
It was Benicio, yeah.
And you need to bring $15 million. And the dude's like, okay, $15 million. And then he looks over at Herschel, and Herschel's like, you know, he gives him a number, whatever. And Taye Diggs is like, all right, well, we could do it in 24 hours, right? And then Benicio's like, no, 12 hours. And then Taye Diggs, he looks at everybody, he goes, and just like out of character, he goes, 12 fucking hours? Oh my God. So good. And he's just like overplaying this whole transition. So good. And he starts laughing, and then like everybody else in the room starts laughing. And like, as the camera pans away, because I think Herschel and his son go to like take care of them, like each other, they still hear Taye Diggs in the background just playing it off like, how am I going to get that fucking money in this fucking time? It was so hilarious. Oh,
okay, let's talk about Taye Diggs real quick here, that character. Now, he is obviously, you mentioned it before, Devo, he's having an affair with Herschel's wife, the one that doesn't want to have a kid. And she's like so preposterous to say that she wants to have a kid with him naturally.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And I was like, number one, I don't think, okay, given Taye Diggs' position, if Herschel finds that out about that, he will have Taye Diggs killed immediately. No brother's that dumb. Number two, like,
or is
well,
he?
Well, granted, but no, but he didn't. But the weird thing was, you never got the sense that he was willing to betray Herschel either. So it was like this weird thing where he actually wanted this chick.
He was fucking his wife.
I know that, dude. But I'm saying like he still wanted to get the kid like for them. The
ultimate betrayal. Dude, they had him and the other dude. What was the other guy's name? Like the kind of spoke Spanish.
Nicky Cat. Yeah,
Nicky Cats. They were like talking about like, dude, why don't we just like, you know, kill the bag man and then kill the woman. You know,
and we'll say that, bring back the, we'll bring say back, that they ran off with the money.
Exactly. He still wanted to get the kid back to him. And yeah, even Herschel said that's all he cared about.
Because all he wanted, but he was like, we don't have to deliver the woman. We just have to deliver the kid. And we can say that the dude ran off with the money.
He was like, we can keep the 15 mil for us.
Fair enough. Okay, you're right. He was going to betray him.
And
he was going to betray him.
But I also think, and I also feel that Taye Diggs is under the impression that he was getting betrayed as well.
He knew that he was getting screwed over.
Because by Herschel. Because I think he knew that there was something going on.
Oh, because
there,
of James Caan's character.
And then it gets to the point where they, he and I think the guy's name was Obex. And they come up with that plan, right? And they're going to do swap. They're going to take the money. They're going to, you know, whatever, whatever. And so they get to the point to where it's like, all right, it's just going to be us two going down to Mexico and do this thing, right? And then Herschel throws his son in the mix. Yeah. And then he throws, what's his name in the mix? Herschel's even like, you know, I'm sorry, boys, but I want my cake and I want to eat it too. So like he sets it it up to where like nobody at this point can fuck him over. And then like even like once he says that, you even see Taye Diggs' face. He's like,
yeah, he was like pissed.
The and okay, so this Taye Diggs is like obviously he's, you know, he's having an affair with the chick. She's enticing him with the ability for the pop, you know, possibility of having a natural child, but and that obviously does is what happens at the end. Spoiler alert, but fuck everyone. You should have seen the movie by now.
It's older than half the people. Exactly.
It's like, okay, so how are they going to get away with that? It's one thing if the doc impregnates Juliet Lewis and they have a kid. That kid's going to look like me.
Yeah.
I thought it was ludicrous. Herschel's going to be like, who the fuck kid is this? He's going to think it's Taye-Diggs' kid.
Francesca's a I wrote it down. Francesca's a freak, but she's also a freaky dumb bitch.
Yeah.
She don't know no better.
Oh, man.
And then, okay, so, and then, okay, I don't know if you guys got this, but there seemed to be the movie was trying to tell the audience something in this conversation that she had with Taye Diggs, where she says, I mean, this might be a really touchy subject for some people, but let's see if we can tiptoe around it. She's a mother. And she's waiting for her child to come into the world. And maybe that is the case. Like, I think if someone was in this woman's position and she wasn't able to have a child naturally and she, you know, they wanted to have a surrogate child, whatever have you, people would consider that child of that woman. Right.
Right.
But is the movie trying to say that it isn't her child?
Ultimately we know it's not, but I think that there's, I don't know if that's part of the commentary that they're trying to say, but it's like, there is this fine line and they do talk about it before we find out like the exact situation that's happening is that it feels like, all right, we know that there's this woman who, for whatever reason, her and her husband cannot have a baby, so they get a surrogate mother. It happens every day all across the world. And then it gets a lot more muddled. Then all of a sudden, now the surrogate's in love with the doctor, who in this doctor is the son of the guy who's trying to have the baby. And then the dad is all happy that it's a son. And then he seems to have more affection and more concern for the surrogate than his wife. And then the wife is like so, like she's all horned up about having a baby, but not wanting to physically do it. And then when she sees a baby moving around, she gets all horned up about actually physically having a baby. So there's a lot of shit that's going on there. And then I think it might be like what's the word I'm looking for? It's to maybe like have a little confusion. So that way you don't really know, like, you know, because this is the kind of movie where you're already trying to guess what's happening, right? And I think it might have just been a wrench to get thrown into the engine, you know. But then obviously you find out who the baby is, what the situation is, and then ultimately what happens at the end. I don't know if any of that made sense.
No, it does. I think what you're saying is this movie is a lot about ambiguity. There's nothing that's clear cut. Basically the main characters are guys that are just murderers essentially. And you're supposed to like them, but they're looking for redemption. Yeah,
they're the ones that we're supposed to be rooting for. Yeah,
exactly. You don't know who you're supposed to be rooting for. And I guess Juliet Lewis, I guess to some extent, but you know, and with her character too, you know, there's an ambiguity about what she is trying to do morally and what the character is trying to do. Like physically, you know, like she wanted to have this baby with this in this other woman's body, but now she wants to have the baby in her own body, but she doesn't want to have it with Herschel. She wants to have it with Taye Diggs and all that, you know, that's just it.
And then even Juliet Lewis, she goes through a little bit of a breakdown where she's like, hey, you know, I didn't want to have a kid. And then I kind of wanted to have a kid. And then the situation came up to where, you know, like it was $1 million. I can't turn down $1 million in cash. And then she's like, well, now I don't want to give up the baby. But then now I don't have to worry about it because it's not their baby. It's actually my baby. But then they don't know. So it's still technically their baby. Like, again, like it just continues the whole like I have it written down and I highlighted it in red. Like, who is the fucking baby?
And then you go even further to find that Juliet Lewis is James Caan's daughter.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah.
So he put his daughter in the line of fire, essentially. Yeah. And yet it's interesting because he was the one almost saying that he was going to kill her in front of Herschel. So did he have this plan all along to get her out of it? Or, you know what I'm saying?
So, because I think his plan is what happens at the end where the money comes in and he leaves with his daughter
and the money
and the son and the money. Right. So that's part of the thing is that he like, I don't know if
and
if
that's Herschel why he didn't kill him at the
knew
end.
That relationship.
So do you think when so right? when Herschel, so when the doc first encounters James Caan and James Caan smashes him up against the thing and he's like, this isn't money. You know, this isn't money. Money is what you take to the grocery store. It's what you get from the ATM.
Yeah.
15 million is not money.
This is
Were they in on it at that point already? Did the doc know about this already?
He must have because I want to say yes, because I can't remember at that time if we know James Caan's relationship with Juliette Lewis.
No.
And we only know that he's this consigliere character. So it sounds like there's a history with that family. So the son must have known this guy for a while, which got him in touch with that guy's daughter. So they have to know that James Caan and Juliette Lewis are father and daughter. And that fool fell in love with the daughter. So it is what it is. I feel like once the situation happened where the embryo didn't take and then the son had the actual baby with Juliette Lewis, then it was like, what kind of plan, you know, can we go into? But I don't know if they had their own separate plan. And then all of a sudden these two dudes come in out of nowhere and like throw a whole monkey wrench in the operation. But I feel like it's at the same time, it was also serendipitous for them, for, you know, James Caan and the other dude, because now it's like, well, we can get away from this gangster family and get a whole lot of money at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, I always wondered, like, why didn't James Caan shoot, you know, Benicio del Toro and fucking Ryan Phillippe right in the fucking face at the end there? James Caan,
Benicio and James Caan had his heart, like, and like,
let's talk
like,
about that scene.
It's like they were
okay,
and they were on the same level. All right, go ahead. You start.
So they're talking, and
it's a great scene, by the way.
It's such a great scene.
It's a great scene
because I think I have it in my notes here. When they're having that conversation, what they say. It says here. Oh, James Caan asks Benicio right off the bat when they get inside the bar or whatever it is. He's like, are you the brains of the operation or is he? And Benicio's line is just perfect. He says, to tell you the truth, I don't think this is a brains kind of operation.
Yeah.
It's just great. And that whole conversation, and they really let their guards down. They put their guns away. They legit have a glass of coffee.
Yeah,
two men who had been through similar life experiences, even though their experiences weren't the same, they had lived a similar type of life and were reminiscing over it, knowing that later on down the line, one of them was going to die at the hands of the other, probably. And it really reminded me, that scene actually really reminded me of the scene between Al Pacino and Robert De Niro in Heat.
Yeah.
Where they have this conversation and know one of them is going to go down.
Yes.
They both know it. And they know that the next time they see each other, that's probably when it's going to happen. But they get to have this moment of appreciating the other person for who they are, because only those two men could appreciate each other. You know? The scene is just great. And the way that they leave it, it leaves you in this thing where you're like, okay, so what the fuck is going to happen now? You just let him walk off. But obviously we know later on that James Caan is playing multiple sides.
Yeah.
He's playing this from a bunch of different facets. So you can see why he's doing what he's doing. And so when he comes back, if you rewatch it now, when he comes back and has that scene with Herschel, when they're all discussing what each person's role is going to be going forward, when they go back to the hotel, you can kind of see where James Caan is coming from.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
But you don't know that at the time. And really the only person who picks up on it is Taye Diggs.
Yep.
Yep.
That fool never trusted that fool.
No, he never did.
He never did.
Now when they are at the hotel, they, Ryan Phillippe and Benicio have this sort of heart to heart conversation. and they're almost ready to just dip out. I'm guessing, right? They were ready to just leave and just leave it be and let her kind of fend for herself. Mm-hmm. Is that what you guys got?
No,
because after Benicio, I think he tried to kill Ryan Philippe and then changed his mind.
No,
I don't know exactly what was going on there, because that was a scene when Ryan Philippe comes out and he tells Benicio who he is, how he started, you know, how he feels. And then Benicio's like, all right, let's go. He's like, but first I left my jacket in the room,
which wasn't.
And then Ryan Philippe is like, oh, I'll go. And then he goes, and then Ryan Philippe is gone, and then all of a sudden Benicio pulls him to the side, and then the shotgun blasts through the door, right? But then Ryan Philippe looks over Benicio's shoulder, and the jacket's hanging on the van mirror.
So Ryan Philippe puts a gun at his chin.
What was going on?
Wait, hold on a second.
Well, it was after that, because he knew that fucking Benicio was lying to him, and I don't know if that lie was because Benicio was going to put a bolt in the back of his head, or no, if he was just going to bounce.
Dude, I was watching it while on my screen to the left of me right now, right, and. When Ryan Philippe's talking about his whole life story and what you're saying, they show a cut from Benicio's if you'd be watching Ryan Philippe, right? He saw a shadow in the back, in the curtains.
Yeah.
He knew what was going on, right? She knew.
Oh, so he saw what's her name moving inside. Exactly. And was like, all right, she's grabbing the gun.
He knew what was going on. So to kind of prove to what Ryan Philippe was like, he was having doubts about what he was about to do. Right. And at this point, Benicio del Toro didn't have to say a damn thing. The moment that he moved him away from that fool being shot in the back, Ryan Philippe knew that fucking shit.
So you think that situation was to be like, hey, this chick doesn't give a shit about us. She's not our friend.
Exactly right.
But then, what was with the gun in the bottom of Benicio's chin?
Oh, because he didn't know at that point. Until he proved it. Look, she's like, she starts calling the police, and he's just like, fuck, okay. I fucked up.
Gotcha.
Oh,
gotcha.
So he's so fucking sneaky, Benicio. So he got because you're right. Because before that, Philippe had played cards with her.
Yes, and he was starting to
warm to her, and Benicio was pissed as fuck.
Yeah, he was pissed as
fuck. And he even says a line in there like you don't want him touching your baby or stuff. You don't want a guy like him touching your stomach.
And then she grabbed his hand. He's like, you don't want a guy like me touching your baby either.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say that. He's like, he looks at her. He's like, that's creepy.
Oh, yeah. You're right. And then, so when Philippe saw that he had the jacket there, Philippe was pissed because he's like, you just almost got me killed. But he didn't get him killed. He blew him out of the way. Okay. That makes sense.
Life. That's when he noticed. It's like, he's like, why'd you push me? And the guy got shot. And he's like, Benicio knew that this jacket was behind him. And this was a lesson to tell him that this bitch don't give a fuck. All right. In a nicer way, this lady didn't care about the people that were kidnapping her. I apologize for the words I just said. But not really. No.
So when Benicio starts, so they dip out. They leave at this point, and they're like, they leave, and everyone thinks that they're gone. So everyone converges on the situation. The Mexican police come, and Benicio starts sniping people.
Number one,
did they show that he had a sniper rifle? Where did he get the gun?
They never showed. Dude, all these fools just show up with badass weapons. By the way, it was one of the things.
Endless clips.
I wanted to mention later on. But did you bring this up? Dude, they show up with badass weapons.
Okay. So we just have to assume that they had them. The movie's called Away the Gun.
They had an arsenal in the back of the van somehow.
For some reason, they're trying to steal this woman's baby for $1 million, but the arsenal in the back of their van was worth $2 million.
Okay, so when all the shooting goes down, this is what I didn't get. You guys can maybe explain this to me. Maybe it's just a poor movie making, or maybe there's some reason that you guys caught. So we're supposed to believe that they've established Juliet Lewis's character as somewhat resourceful because she's able to get these guys to sort of take care of her, give her food, to play cards with her, to care about her. And then at the very moment that they let their guard down, she damn near blows their fucking head off, calls the police, which is a smart thing to do, all this shit, right? Yet, when Benicio starts sniping people, she freezes, everyone's shooting each other, taking cover, and she's just standing in the middle with her baby that she supposedly loves could get shot at any goddamn moment. What the fuck is going on?
There was gunfire everywhere in that scene.
So I think at that point, like, it was Taye Diggs and Obex.
Yes.
And then they blasted the cops, right? So they're the ones that blasted the cops. So at that point, the only wild cards that would be harmful to the baby are gone. So now we just know it's the two guys that want the baby versus the two guys that want the money. And they both know that they rely on Juliette Lewis. So maybe she was like, okay, I realize that like they're not going to go after me. And then she wasn't like too hurry, like ready to move or something. I don't know. But like,
it was terrible.
For me, I think the crazy thing about that was the fact that Obex gets blasted and then the fools come back to pick him up.
He was still alive and they tortured him.
They
he was
still tortured alive. Him,
dude. They tortured the
okay, so they wrapped his wrists in barbed wire, I'm guessing. And then what were they using to stretch him out with?
It's just
a crank.
Yeah, some type of crank.
Yeah.
They made this fool a human fucking hammock and shit.
It's like the cranks that fucking Lucho has on the fucking back of his truck when he goes camping.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal, man.
Yeah.
And then right after that, they like the way that they shot the following scene was very confusing because you're like, wait a second, how the fuck did she get alone when she was just in the car with all these people? And then they sort of unveil it to you. But it was weird because she's just walking through the hallway looking like she's gonna die with the kid and everything. And she opens some door and asks some like random woman, I guess like a prostitute, to help her. And the woman just ends up calling her a stupid bitch in Spanish and pushes her out and closes the door on her. I was
hold on a second. The name of that character, according to IMDb, is called Sloppy Prostitute.
My God.
Accurate.
Continue on, Clint, please.
So then they come back and you realize that actually they've all been at this facility, this like I guess this hotel or whatever it is.
It's a not facility. A resort. It is not a resort. It is an abandoned hotel that a pimp has used to use the rooms to whore out.
Yeah, well, it's a hotel. Yeah, I mean, it had a bar and all this stuff like that. So they're in one of the rooms.
Well, no, this place. That's not the place that had the hotel or the bar. The bar is back at the other, like the legit hotel. This is like an abandoned like hotel. That was run by this dude.
It was
chicks.
On the same site. It was like in some courtyard or something like that. Was the middle area?
No, because remember when they're at the hotel and Taye Diggs takes off with the chick, like Benicio's like, all right, like the border is north. Why are they driving south? So they
not the hotel that they were at when she blew him when she tried to blow him away with the shotgun. When they go to this other
back
place,
the brothel
where the brothel is, that's like another hotel.
That's another
I guess.
Hotel. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember there being a bar.
There was
though.
Because they were waiting in it.
That's right.
The fools walk in. The fools walk in with the ones where one has a shotgun. The other one has like an Israeli Galil, right? And then Ryan Phillippe is like, ahem. And all the, you know, all the sexy Latinas, you know, run out the door.
Yeah, that was the second we have guns.
Yeah, exactly. And Benicio slapped one of them on the ass.
You see that? Yeah, of course.
Savage.
Gotta do what you gotta do, man. I'm telling you,
this movie couldn't happen in this day and age, man.
So then Taye Diggs, I swear to God, Taye Diggs is just...
he's so great in this film.
He's so savage and ruthless. He just has no emotion. He comes in and he goes... He says to Juliette Lewis, they're like in there. She has to have like a C-section and it's like she's probably going to die or something like that. And this fool walks up to her very calmly and says to her, are you comfortable? We're going to take your baby out now. I was like, oh my God, vicious.
I'm telling you, this is a great film, man.
So then Khan has this scene with his boy Abner.
Yes.
Abner,
he's dying, and it's hilarious to me. I couldn't stop laughing at this. I had to pause it multiple times just to get my laughs out so I could actually like pay attention to what they were saying. This fool comes in, he's like, I'm dying, Joe.
Yeah.
And then he puts his head down and Jane Khan goes to leave. And then he talks again.
And like what the fuck? But it's not even that. It's like the look on James Khan's face is like, oh, well, I guess I better go. And like he's leaving, and the guy's like, I'm dying.
And then he was,
I kind of want to be alone. No,
exactly.
And then like James Conn, like he just gives him this look. He's like, he was like, and he just leaves.
They're like, I'm like, you know what, Joe? I kind of feel like being alone.
I like, hope you don't feel bad.
I was like, all right. Like,
okay.
I'm like, dude, you would have been alone if you just shut up.
Shut the fuck up.
He was leaving. I'm like, he was about to dip out. Just let him leave.
Man.
That guy, so that funny. Character alone is just greatness.
He's a great character, dude.
And then it was madness because these fools are just blowing each other. Blowing each other's heads off in a room where the doc is giving a C-section birth. It's madness, man. It really is.
It's a fun movie to watch.
There's a scene after all the shooting's done, and it's like a great. There's like a great shot because they show the pimp,
mm-hmm.
then they show Benicio, then they show Juliette Lewis, they show the doc, they show Ryan Philippe, and then they show Taye Diggs.
Yeah,
the first and the last dead, of course, and the doc is like catatonic, and Benicio does his Benicio thing where he's like, "Doc, how's the baby?" And then he whispers it, "How's the baby?"
Yeah.
But that's so that's the thing. The reason why he's catatonic is the fact that like Taye Diggs grabs the doctor and he puts a gun to his head. And like, because Benicio and Ryan Felipe broke in, right? Because before Taye Diggs walks in the room and the pimp doesn't know who it is. So he shoots at him and then Taye Diggs turns around and kills
him. Yeah.
And so the pimp's done. But then Taye Diggs, he takes the doctor hostage and they're like, all right, you know, like, they're at their standoff, right? But then the doc pulls out a gun out of somewhere and he blasts Taye Diggs in the neck and Taye Diggs just fucking bleeds out, right? And then because the doctor actually, like, this little pussy doctor killed somebody, like, he's all catatonic. And then that's when Benicio comes in and he's like, how's the baby?
He's bleeding from the eye.
He's got a wound on the eye. And he grabs. He just gains on it. And the doctor was like,
"Greatness!"
He's like,
"No, the fool." And he's just like, "Are you back?" He's like, "Yeah, I am."
Yeah.
And then he just goes to clean his gloves and then just continues.
Mm-hmm.
Insane, man.
Back to work. And then Benicio and Ryan Felipe end up going into the shootout in the courtyard with James Caan and these just two old random.
I think there was more than two. I think there was like five or six of them or something like that. Because when they first brought in the money, you could see that it was like James Caan and like maybe five, six, seven, eight guys.
Yeah.
So a lot of dudes that they brought. Okay. They were all bagmen, you know?
Yeah. And I think as the fight's ensuing, and I wrote these down here in the notes, and I'm like, dude, like fucking, so Ryan Felipe, like they're all like hiding and they're, you know, dodging the bullets and stuff like that. And then Ryan Felipe is like around this fountain, but he's kind of pinned down. And so he needs more cover. So he jumps into the fountain, realizing that people like they're drinking the beers outside the fountain. And they throw their empty bottles in there. So that fool jumps into just shards of glass. And I was just like, oh, it's got to hurt so bad. And that fool had like a half a bottle sticking out of his arm. He's just like pulling it out. It's just like, oh,
that would have been fucked. Awesome. He would have probably lost that arm, probably. Yeah. Gooch. Especially crawling around all after that. It was nasty. And he did a really good job acting that out because you really felt like, oh my God, that was horrible.
I had totally forgotten about that scene, by the way. I was like,
And like, there's one point where like Benicio and Ryan Felipe are getting pinned down by this old dude, this old fucking codger. And he's got like this little six shooter. But like, he's holding off both the guys. It's like, what's happening here? But then Ryan Felipe and Benicio have this really weird tactic, right? Where the guy's pinned down behind the pillar and they're both blasting him from either side, right? So the guy, like on either side of his pillar, he's got bullets coming at him and they go, then just blasting the hell out of it, right? And then they stop. And like, as they stop the reloading, right? And the guy's like, oh, they're out of bullets. So he turns around the corner and they both just lay into him.
Yeah.
Well, he just waited too long. He waited too long. Either that or they just didn't. They just didn't empty their clips. It's fun. There's a scene. I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you guys caught this. There's a scene when Benicio's like crawling on the ground and a dude is trying to blast Benicio and he is crawling on the ground. And he barely gets out. And then all of a sudden, Philippe jumps out to the side and literally blasts this dude with a shotty in the balls.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch that?
Yeah.
Hilarious. Yeah. It's hilarious. You didn't shoot him in the chest, nothing. Straight in his nuts.
No, straight to the nuts, right, dude. In the dick. Yeah.
And there's another scene where Ryan Felipe gets the money and he's got the money on his back and he's walking, right? He's walking with the money. He's limping because he already got blasted in the leg. And then fucking James Caan has him dead to rights. He's got the sight on his head. And then last minute, he points out and blasts him in the leg.
Yeah.
What was the point of blasting him in the leg?
I think it was out of respect, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think because
it was out of respect.
Like after like the conversation that he had with Benicio del Toro's character in the bar, I think they mm-hmm. really left with like a mutual respect for each other. Honestly, he could have killed them both at the end there too. He could have blasted him in the fucking head. But what did he say? What did they both say? Until next time, you know, with Benicio del Toro. Yep. He's like
but hey man, they bled out.
Exactly.
I'm sure they did.
Until next time.
There's a scene when Benicio got shot mm-hmm. and he could only use one arm. He checked his mag like John Wick did.
Yeah. Did you catch that? Yeah. That was awesome.
That was fucking sick. I love that. And then there's a scene where Philippe, you mentioned, got shot in the leg, Devo, and mm-hmm. he had the all the money. And Benicio is carrying Philippe, and Philippe is carrying the money.
The money, right?
And they're like dragging them. That's hilarious. And then, but then James Caan obviously, you know, he blasted Benicio pretty badly
in the legs. Yes.
And then after he blasts him, he gets the money, and instead of picking it up, he drags it over Benicio.
Yeah.
And
Benicio's like, ah!
Hey man, if there ain't no mutual respect there, I'll tell you that.
And I think there's a moment. So go ahead.
So I have another here before we move on, Clay. I have another note here. Like when Benicio and Ryan Felipe are down, James Caan gets on the phone. He's like, "All right, go ahead and call him in." And an ambulance comes in. The second the ambulance pulled in the frame, I yelled, "Ghostbusters!"
Oh, yeah, for sure. The ambulance was hella close.
The ambulance is the same. It's the same vehicle that they use as the Ecto-1. Yeah.
Definitely. What is that vehicle, by the way? Like a Lincoln or something like that?
I don't know, some fucking they used it in like it was popular in the 80s. I know that
that whole scene, that ambulance came so fucking fast. So the ambulance was there the whole time.
Yeah,
that which means that was his like his insurance policy for his daughter. Sorry, I was gonna like burp, but I didn't. He had his insurance policy the whole time, which was that ambulance to help his daughter.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And you know, there's a scene before that where he walks in after, you know, Philippe and Benicio decide to dip out, and James Caan walks in. And at that point I thought he was going to kill her, you know, but when he doesn't kill her, you know, that's when you sort of realize the look that they gave each other. I was like, wait a second, that's probably his daughter.
Yeah.
You know, which is confirmed later on.
Girl just fucking sliced open, mm-hmm. blood everywhere. A fucking doctor fucking elbow deep inside of her. It's just,
and even the doc was like, you're not needed here.
Yeah,
and tells him to get out. So that let me that made me think that the doc knew that that was his daughter, that he wasn't going to kill her. And so at that point, you know, you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, James Caan has this whole plan. It sort of got executed to perfection because not only did his daughter survive, the baby survived, and he didn't get shot in any way. I don't think James Caan was injured at all.
No, not at all.
Everyone else died, of course. Obviously, all of his boys died. But at that point you're thinking, like you said, Gooch, he leaves Benicio and Ryan Philippe to die there.
Yeah.
Did he think that at this point Herschel was going to come looking?
I doubt it.
For them?
No way.
Herschel was I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done with the whole thing. No, but how was Herschel going to handle the $15 million that was gone that he had to give back to the Latinos or Mexicans?
I mean, they left a lot of stuff open, by the way. Because obviously he would have to go back to Herschel and tell Herschel was like, where's my baby? I'm like, I don't know. Where's my $50 million bucks? But, I don't know.
At that point, I think and his daughter and the son just bounced. Right?
Exactly right. I think he just bounced.
Because at that point, once Tay Diggs and the other dude are out of the equation, then there's no other connection that this fool has. Because Herschel sent everybody on his team to Mexico to handle the situation. And when nobody comes back, I think that's why he's drinking at the end, because he knows he's fucked. He knows he's fucked over. Yeah. And then even Ryan Felipe says, like, when I go to God, I'm going to tell him that I was framed. And then he says something about like, you know, sometimes life has a funny way of coming back or something like that. Right. And then that's when the chick drops the bomb. I'm pregnant after we know that she's been banging Tay Diggs. So that little Herschel about half black baby comes out. Yep.
What do you guys think of the way it ended? I what do you think happens from that point? What do you think happens to the wife?
Well, for the wife, I think probably has a kid with the dude,
And
yeah, I think it just goes where the kid comes out and then shit happens. Herschel probably bounces. The chick has her baby, but there's no Taye Diggs. She goes to find some other poor fool to take care of the kid.
What I would like to know is that I don't want to. I don't think that, you know, Ryan Phillippe's character and Benicio del Toro's character died. I want to see that they did a, like, they lived their whole life, you know, doing exactly what James Caan said, like surviving, right? So doing certain jobs here and there and just making enough money to survive and, you know, last the old age. Next movie I want to see is The Way of the Gun Part 2 and these fools come back for like one last big hit. You know, or like, you know, just be in a movie like this. I doubt they would, though. There's no way this movie could be out here in this stage.
Do they pair up with the old bag man, James Caan? No,
he's dead. James Caan's dead. They'd be like the James Caan character.
Is James Caan alive in real life?
Is he? I
gotta look it up.
I'll look it up. I mean, that fool's an elf.
He's alive. He's 80 years old, but he's alive.
Oh, he could be in it then. That'd be awesome.
Fool looks like death.
No, but I would like to see like them surviving and going like on more heists and stuff and be a bit more successful.
They should bring in Scott Caan.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
To be his son? Yeah, maybe.
Wow.
It doesn't have to be his son. Maybe it could be like his, I don't know, some weird, dumb, distant relative or something. Younger. Because we already know that he has a daughter in Julia Lewis. Exactly. Unless Richie comes in and wants to eat some pussy or something. This I don't know. Guy.
All right. So let's do scores, fellas. Actually, let's do Kim Coppola. Let's do Kim Coppola.
Oh, dude, it had to go to the doctor. Doctor was garbage, dude. The fool was just like, Francesco was a freak, but then everybody else in this movie was phenomenal. Yeah. You know, everybody, like, I don't know if it was their A games, but it's like, you know, like Ryan Phillippe, like I'm not a, like I don't know a lot of his films, but like I thought he was great in this movie. Benicio, never been better. He was even great in The Last Jedi.
What do you think of Philippe's accent, though?
I don't think it was an accent, more so that like he just talks weird. Like he's talking in the back of his mouth. He's like,
he didn't talk like that in all of his movies, and he was trying to do like a New York accent or something.
I know he's got that one movie where he fucks his sister, and he's got that one movie where he's a computer hacker with Rachel Lee Cook. I don't know what else he's done after that. That's outside ridiculous. Of that.
What you just said is preposterous. Exactly. Just intrinsically.
That's what the movies are. Oh, man. And then Benicio, and then James Caan, and then Herschel. You know, even the freaky wife. Taye Diggs was awesome. The dude, the Obex. Everybody except the doctor. The doctor was just this weaselly little pussy that got beat around and didn't care for him, so fuck him.
Oh, man. That's an interesting take. I actually thought the doc was supposed to be exactly what you just described. I didn't really have a problem with the doc. I actually thought maybe Juliette Lewis was not my particular taste, actually. I think they could have gotten a lot of other women to do that role and they would have been a little bit more interesting. But that would be my pick. But you're right.
Do you think she was actually hard to pregnant pick. During the filming?
What's that?
Do you think she was actually pregnant during the filming?
No. I think she was doing and I thought she did a particularly bad job at like how a pregnant woman walks. Like, I've been around a pregnant woman all the way through.
They don't walk like that.
You know what I mean?
Like, she was like hurtling like back and like left and right.
I thought she was kind of bad, but you know.
I've never seen a pregnant, like a 9-month pregnant woman run before, so.
For me, it was the doctor.
Okay.
I thought his acting was terrible. Yeah. I love the doctor's acting was terrible.
The guy's name is Dylan Cussman.
Yeah. Never seen anything else. Because he's terrible.
He's been in a bunch of other stuff, it says here.
Oh, sorry, Dylan. I didn't know.
Dead Poets Society. Leatherheads. Jack Reacher. Yeah. Okay. He's writing some stuff.
Oh.
So he wrote the screenplay for that movie, The Mummy. So, fuck it. Terrible.
Exactly.
Okay. Dylan Cussman, Kim Coppola Award is yours, my friend. So let's do scores.
Okay, so for me, it's a solid 7. I like this film. It's fun. And I mean, I give it a 7 because I'd probably go watch it again next, maybe like someone says, hey, Lucha, let's go watch Wave of the Gun from like 6 months from now. I'll go watch it. It's fun. So that's a 7 for me. I like this movie.
For me, again, not ever hearing of this movie, not knowing it existed. It's
shocking to me.
Shocking, by the way. Just the fact that Ryan Phillippe and Benicio del Toro are starring in a film together is weird enough. But the movie was enjoyable for me. I really liked it. It's a perfect crime thriller. You get what you know, from start to finish, you get what you expect. I had no expectations coming to this movie because I didn't know what it was all about. And I really, really liked it. So I too would give it a 7.
I kind of want to give it the same number, but I think I'm going to go with the 6.5 just because, some of the story didn't make exact sense and it was like kind of hard to follow a little bit.
That's part of the fun.
The characters Parker and Longbow were actually the real last names of Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how they got their first names, their names at least. Mm. I give it 6.5. I thought it was pretty good. I think, you know, more than the story is the acting. Mm-hmm. From some of these actors is really good and enjoyable. And obviously some of the firefight at the end is pretty funny. Some of the stuff, especially the guy getting his ball blown off. I laughed at that. So I gave it a 6.5, but you know, 7, 6.5, 7. I think that's about right.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
There you have it. Way of the Gun. Gooch's pick.
Go watch it, man. Well, it's done, a great my film. Friend. It's funny.
Well done.
So, Clint, do you have a teaser for what we're going to watch next week?
Yes, next week we are going to watch. I need to look this up real quick. Give me one.
I need to find out know. What the actual name of it is. It's so suspenseful.
No, I know what it is.
I'm all tingly, Clint.
Okay. So, we are going to do the Black Mirror episode Striking Vipers that stars none other than Anthony Mackie.
Okay.
And I think it actually has this other dude who was in what's his name?
Black Panther. He's Aquaman. Manta Ray. Aquaman. Yeah.
Yahya Abdul-Mateen, who was also in Watchmen. He was fucking great in Watchmen. It is a I'm really curious to see what you guys have to say about this one, so I'm really looking forward to it. And I thought it would be a different change of pace. And it's like an hour long.
The fact that Clint picked it, because I've texted you about this before when I first watched it. So I've heard your initial experience and your initial reaction. I am very excited to hear what Lucha has to say.
For sure.
All right. It's gonna be great. Now I'm excited.
It's series 5, episode 1, Gooch.
Okay. All right.
You are going to be very excited. That is an understatement.
And it's an hour long watch, so it'll be cool. It'll be cool to have a little bit of something short of this time.
Yeah. And honestly, if you haven't seen any other Black Mirrors, like after you watch this, you should probably watch that series. The entire series is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, man.
I gotta watch it. I gotta watch all these things. I know you guys tell me it's awesome.
Well, you have no choice now, Gooch. You gotta watch.
Now, you know what? If this thing is awesome, I'll probably watch the Black Mirror after that. So.
this might not be the one episode that's gonna get you into Black Mirror.
That's the truth. You might be like, what kind of fucking show is this?
Hey, I like fucked up shit. You know me, Paul.
All right, then this is right up your alley, bro. So there you have it. Next week, Black Mirror Striking Vipers.
Yeah. See ya.